Now we're stepping out of the kitchen and over to the bar. If you're thirsty after your Independence Day dessert, then maybe you can chase down that slice of cherry pie with a cocktail. For the latest in our summer sipping series, we're giving you a taste of some cocktails to try when you're celebrating this 4th of July, or any time this summer for that matter. We've caught up with cocktail historian Derek Brown. He oversees the bar program at the hot new bar here in Washington, D.C., the Gibson. Welcome to the program, or better yet, thank you for welcoming us.
My pleasure to be here, Michelle. Thank you.
Now, before we jump into the cocktails, explain the concept of this bar. I think it's known here as a secret bar.
It is. Basically, what happens at the Gibson is that we want a more genteel bar. We want a place where people can really sit down and enjoy a cocktail, that they don't feel kind of rushed or hurried, that they're getting something that's very crafted. It's really just about the experience of enjoying each other's company, and the cocktail is an excuse to do that.
Well, let's think about some cocktails that we might enjoy on this 4th of July weekend, and I'm not much of a drinker, so I've brought some help with me to have a sip. Executive producer Marie Nelson. She's funny. We didn't have any trouble getting volunteers for this assignment for some reason today. So why don't you start with, how about a classic gin Ricky? That's something I've heard about.
Well, not only do I have a lot of pride, obviously, in the United States, but also civic pride in Washington, D.C., and this cocktail was invented in D.C. in 1883 by a guy named George Williamson, after Colonel Joe Ricky, who was a Democratic lobbyist at the time. And it was originally made with bourbon, but the more popular incarnation was a gin Ricky, and that became extremely famous. One good reason for that is it's really refreshing. This is the closest thing to air conditioning in a glass.
Oh, and we need that here in Washington, D.C. All right, well, let's have a little bit.
Well, I'm going to make one. I'm going to start with one whole lime. Now, the limes that they originally made them with were a little smaller, and I'm going to do some. This is a very easy drink to make, too. I'm just going to squeeze it directly into the glass. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to measure out Old Tom Gin. Old Tom Gin is sort of a unique style of gin.
Okay, how much of that are we going to put in there?
I'm going to put 2 ounces of it.
Okay.
So that can be a little strong, but this one is not meant to be drank quickly. It's meant to be savored and enjoyed over a long period of time. So the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to put a couple of ice cubes in there. And originally it was just one large of lump of ice, so I'm just going to put a couple in there. I don't need too much. And then I'm going to add, lastly, some soda water to it. So this drink is remarkably easy to make. And when you have it, you'll see, especially if it's a hot day, this is extremely refreshing. Right now I'm just stirring it a couple times. You can hear it fizzing and bubbling. I'm going to taste it, make sure it's good. And then I'm going to pass
all
on
right
for you to try.
Okay,
and this
cheers.
This is the kind of drink, if you like gin and tonics, too, that's pretty good.
Okay. A little too grown up for me. Here,
I'm the gin and tonic drinker in the bunch.
I love it.
Okay, well, go on ahead. And
we'll just hold this down on this end.
Yeah, you just keep it down there. Okay, well, speaking of that, let's switch gears. And what if you're out with a bunch of friends, but you don't drink alcohol for whatever reason, and you don't want to be lame, and you're kind of tired of just the sparkling water with a little twist of lime? Do you have a recommendation?
Yeah, I think it's very important to have non-alcoholic drinks behind bars, and I'd urge bartenders who are not very creative with that to think of it as a way to be more creative, in a sense, that if you're mixing things, you know, just start mixing them without the alcohol and try how it works. Different juices, different ingredients that you can make in-house. We make something called Orgeat syrup, which I think works out really well on a cocktail called Orgeat lemonade. It's also pretty simple. The Orgeat syrup is a little complicated to make. We make it in-house, but what I recommend to consumers is maybe just start by buying it. There's a couple brands that you can that are available commercially that are easy to get. It's almond syrup that's flavored with a little rose water. And I'm going to squeeze about one lemon into here, but you could measure it out as well. About 1 ounce of lemon juice is what we're looking for. So it's 2-to-1 Orgeat syrup to lemon juice. Next, I'm just going to take a little bit of powdered sugar and put it in there.
My favorite.
This one is going to come out pretty tart, but you can imagine if you wanted something that was sweeter, just put more sugar in it. So next, I'm going to grab some ice here. So I'm going to shake this one, and I recommend shaking it vigorously.
Now you're showing off, Derek.
So I'm going to strain this into the glass. And I'm going to add crushed ice. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to actually clap the mint. There's a little mint sprig here, which is on its own aromatic. But when you clap it, it breaks the cell walls and it becomes even more aromatic.
What do you clap it?
Like that. And actually, I can smell it even more intensely than I did before. I'm going to put that on top there. And then I'm going to put a little more powdered sugar on top.
I think I can handle this one. All right, here it is. I do smell it. I didn't realize that little bit of clapping brings the scent and the flavor of the mint in. Okay. All right, Miss Gin and Tonic.
Something tells me you're going to be monopolizing this one.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty good.
Huh? This is so good.
Yeah.
This is so yummy.
I think it's the main difference is it's all those fresh ingredients that go into it.
Mm. Well, because I was well-raised, I am going to share. You want some?
It's beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
The orgeat just really does something different to the lemon. It's like a totally different from what I expected.
Me too.
Yummy.
Now, this one we can also add some liquor to as well, but I don't recommend it because you see how fast it goes down. That's a recipe for danger.
Now, is the mint just a kind of an added sensual experience? You don't really taste it. Is it just because you smell it as you're drinking it? It just kind of makes it another...
Yeah, there's a couple important things to make in a cocktail. First of all, it has to look good. You drink first with your eyes. Then it has to smell good because that's the next sense that you encounter. And then it has to taste good. All of those are really important to a cocktail. And some people might think it's all about the way it tastes, but that's not true. I think it's the whole experience of the drink.
So, Derek, there are some of these classic drinks that you've shared with us and a new one that you've introduced us to, but is there abiding secret to making a great, refreshing cocktail?
I think that the best thing you can do is use the freshest possible ingredients. They make the absolute difference. You can smell it. You know, it's intense, the aromatics of fresh citrus versus a sour mix that you buy store-bought. Avoid pre-mixes where you can. It takes a little extra effort, but it's well worth it.
Derek Brown is a cocktail historian. He oversees the bar program at the Gibson. It's a hot new bar here in Washington, D.C. And thank you so much for speaking with us today, and happy 4th.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you, and happy 4th of July.